But look, it's a delight to be here and to see all of you, and it's a great privilege, and thank you all for inviting me again. It's good to see all of you. I'm going to read for you from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11 and verses 5 to 11. It's Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 11. And I'm reading from the New International Version, but during the course of this message, I'll probably be referring to some words from the King James Version. So this is how it reads in the New International Version. Jesus is teaching on prayer, and he had just told them about the Lord's Prayer. And then we pick up from verse 5. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread, because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. That's God's word. And we give him thanks for it. So like I said, Jesus begins this chapter with the Lord's Prayer, or at least part of it. And he's saying to his disciples to begin prayer by asking for bread for themselves. Give me this day what my daily bread. That's me, that's you, praying for yourself for my personal bread. And look, it is essential to pray for yourself. But in this parable, Jesus is teaching us that we need to move from just praying for ourselves to pray for other people. Friends are on a journey. They are coming to my house. It's the midnight hour, and I do not have in my house what I need. So he runs to his neighbor's house and started to beat and pound the door and says, I need bread. Midnight. Midnight hour. In the Bible, midnight is a time of the nearness of Christ's coming. In the parable of the bridegroom, the cry went out when? At midnight. The cry went out at midnight for the bride, church, to be taken away. An indication of the second coming of Jesus. Now look, you don't have to be a Bible scholar to realize that Jesus is coming soon. Demonic and hell forces are attacking people everywhere in this world. They are rocking and reeling. There is a famine in the body of Christ and a real need for revival and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit to turn the people of God back to God. So you could see the signs of the times are there to tell us it's the midnight hour. And the question that I have here is, what should the church's position and posture be at the midnight hour? What should the church do at the midnight hour? So I want to preach on a topic that's long like this, beating on the door at midnight for 3 loaves. That's what he wanted. 3 loaves he went shouting for, banging on the door at midnight for 3 loaves. That's the topic, all right? Good. And one of the things I want to show in this sermon, and it's going to be to get from where I am now to there. One of the things I want to show is this. You've got your renewal weekend coming up in October. And I'm saying this because I was told that when you're preaching, keep in mind our renewal weekend. So I'm following instructions here. All right? I'm an obedient follower. Right. So, I am aware that there is a renewal weekend coming up in October. And one of the things I want to show you in this sermon is that this renewal weekend is not just about you. Perhaps it even isn't about you. It is about a whole lot of other people. And that's one of the things I want to show you through this sermon. So, that's the topic, beating on the door at midnight for 3 loaves. So, the beating on the door indicates a kind of prayer that is desperate. Yeah? Friend has come, no bread in the house, beating on the door to get some. That's what you call desperation. It's a kind of prayer that almost breaks down the door to get what you want. Some of us call it intercessory prayer. But you know what? It's a bit more than just intercessory prayer. It's aggressive intercessory prayer. It's intercessory prayer. That means praying for other people. Some aggression or desperation. Intercessory prayer to me is the great weapon of the church and a guided missile of the Holy Spirit. Your relatives and friends may say, I don't want that Jesus stuff. But there is something you can do about it. You can pray for them. I've got 3 sons. And they all used to go to church and Sunday school and that when they were younger. And now they're in their 20s, and two of them are in their 30s, 30 and 33. One's just 20. And they don't go to church anymore. And every time I ask them to come or talk to them about Jesus, they have all these intelligent questions to rebut me, so to speak. Sometimes I feel like just grab them and shake them. You know, I can't do that. And, okay, so they don't come with me to church anymore. But I've got a weapon. And I pray for them almost every day that God will intervene and that they will accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And sometimes I wonder, Lord, nothing is happening. But I believe that is the guided missile of the Holy Spirit. And even though they will not come to church with you, intercessory prayer, beating on the door at midnight, will get into cars, will get into their schools and their universities, will get with them into their places of work. Your prayers will follow them wherever they go. And the more we see the midnight hour coming, desperation, Christ coming, the more we should turn to the place of prayer for them. So listen to what verse 5 and 6 says. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine is on a journey and has come to me, and I have no bread to offer him. Lend me 3 loaves of bread. So this is not just desperation. To me, this is a daring prayer at midnight. Why is it a daring prayer? Well, one day's requirement was 1 loaf for a whole family. But this man is asking for 3 loaves. It looks like all he needs is 1. And he's asking for 3 loaves. His friend has arrived on his own. It's not like he has a whole army with him. But this man is putting in a big request, a daring request. He's asking for much more than is needed for one day's supply. This is the midnight hour. So let me ask you this. It's the midnight hour. Can I continue to live off just a little bit of Sunday morning or Sunday 4 p.m. religion? I need more. I want more. It is 3 loaves time. It is time to beat on the door of heaven and say, God, thank you for my salvation. Thank you for my forgiveness. But I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to be filled more. And maybe some of us in here need to be refilled. Are we hungry enough for more than just 1 loaf of bread? It is midnight. It is 3 loaves time. And the time for business as usual is probably over. So wake up from your slumber and get beating on the door, because Jesus is coming and many of our families and friends could be left behind and be heading for hell. In verse 8 he says, I tell you, even though he, that is the guy inside, will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of shameless audacity, or as the King James put it, because of importunity. Now that's a great word. He will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Right. Importunity. What does it mean? Well, from the King James Version, it's a really good word. And you know what it means? It means aggressive knocking on the door. This was not a cultured knock. You know the British knock? It wasn't that knock. It wasn't any gentle tapping on the door. This was a beating on the door in desperation. He is shamelessly beating and pounding that door. And the whole neighborhood is probably up by now. Dogs are barking. Somebody is shouting. Who is this idiot beating on the door at midnight? So late at night. Who is the idiot beating on the door? Call 999. Because he's disturbing the peace at midnight. And yes, when you beat on the door at midnight, they are going to be mad with you. And let me tell you why they're going to be mad with you.
Because I told you not so long ago that your prayer will get into their lives and follow them in the cars and to the places of work and everywhere they go. And your prayers are going to mess up a whole lot of things in their lives. And it's going to spoil some of their parties because they are going to come to the house of bread. Something inside of me must say, I can't stop beating on the door until I get bread. More bread. Not one loaf, but three loaves. I want bread more than I have ever had. I want to take you back to the book of Genesis now. And it's the story of Jacob. And it's found when you want it later on. Genesis chapter 32, and it's verses 24 to 29. So Jacob says, I do not have what I need. And he wrestled with an angel all night. The angel pulled his hip out of its joint. You know, that angel could have pulled his head out. Yeah. But the angel pulled his hip out of its joint. And as they wrestled, the angel said, let me go. Have you ever thought of this? Do you think that angel really wanted Jacob to let him go? I believe that under his breath, the angel was really saying, let me go. But please don't really let me go. I don't really want you to let me go. And if you don't, you are going to get a blessing. And that's exactly what happened in this story. In verse 26, Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. And this is the kind of prayer that I am talking about here today. Banging on the door and holding on to God and says, I'm not going until you give me what I've come here for. I'll not let you go until you bless me. Get hold of God and say, bread, bread, save, save. And it's almost like God says, let me go. But under his breath, he says, but I hope you Jacob held on to that angel all night with dear life. And eventually the angel said, you will no longer be called Jacob, but your new name will be Israel. Because I said, let me go, and you still held on to me. You, Jacob, have prevailed with God. And you will be transformed. You will be blessed. And it might seem sometimes that God is saying, let me go. Your experiences in life might tell you there were times when God was saying to you, let me go. But he really wanted you to hold on, to keep knocking and beating on the door of heaven. You know, this isn't a light rattle, like, now I lay me down to sleep, Lord. No. It's not that kind of stuff, right? It's not that stuff we're talking about here. This is a pounding and a beating on the door. It's midnight and time is running out and I am desperate. And the bread I want is not just for me. The bread I want is for my friends also. And yeah, I only need one right now. But I'm thinking about a future. I've come for 3 loaves, Lord. Let me show you what desperation means in prayer. Look at Romans chapter 9. Well, the story is found in Romans chapter 9 from verse 3. And it's the Apostle Paul. He made a very profound statement in Romans chapter 9 verse 3. Let me read it for you from my version, the NIV. This is Paul speaking. I wish I could be cursed and be cut off from Christ that Israel might be saved. What a bizarre thing to say. What a profound statement. This is how the New Living Translation puts it. I would be willing to be forever cursed, cut off from Christ, if that would save Israel. Moses said, Lord, blot my name out if you are going to blot theirs out. I will go to hell. I am prepared to go to hell if you will let them go to heaven. Of course, we don't have to do this. Nor will God allow it. But it is the spirit of what we mean that is crucial here. And it is what, in the end, may move the hand of God. When are we going to get some Christians in this generation who will not only try to do enough to get their good selves to heaven, but who will have a burden for their friends and families to do something for them to get to heaven and not to go to hell? When? He pounded that door so loudly that eventually the friend inside the house gets up. You can't help it. He's beating the door down. So the friend gets up. So I want to ask you this. Was it reasonable to beat that door down at midnight? Was that reasonable? I mean, just think of it now. You even go and do that at your neighbor's house at midnight and they probably throw a cold bucket of water on you. Right? Never mind. Was it reasonable? Well, the rules of hospitality at that time say that if a friend or a guest comes to your house, she or he must be fed. If not, something terrible is going to happen. And the terrible thing is this. It would bring shame upon you, upon the family, but that's not the end of it. It is also going to bring dishonor to the whole village and community. So it's important that this guest and this friend got food. Not just for the sake of that family, but for the sake of the whole community. That was the cultural rule at the time. So, the honor of the man outside that's doing the knocking, the honor of the man inside who's got the bread, and the honor of the whole village is at stake. Can you imagine what the neighborhood would say to the man inside the house if he didn't get up, and worse, if he didn't give any bread. At the very least, they'll all be queuing up and look at what the shame you have brought to this village. That's at the very least what would have happened. So, it was an emergency, it was midnight, and it was a legitimate need, a real legitimate need. So I say, yes, it was reasonable to be banging on that door. And I say, it is reasonable to be banging with aggression at the door of heaven for God to hear us. The motive of the man inside the house and the motive of the man outside the house is the same. Isn't it? The friend must be fed. It is in the interest of both of them to make this happen. So we want people to have bread. Have I assumed that correctly? Yep. We want people to be saved. Is that right? Talk to me. Help me. Yeah, cool. Now we're talking. And you know what? That is what we all want. And would you believe it? That is also what God wants. For the people to have bread. For the people to be saved and sanctified. That is why he came. That is why he died at Calvary. That is why he rose from the dead. For this very reason. And if God is the man inside the house, then not only has he got the bread for them to be fed and for them to be saved, but he himself is the bread and the Savior. And that is why it's so reasonable and just to be banging on that door, because he is the bread and he is the Savior. And get him up and get him to give you what you want. Our attempt to knock down the door of heaven with our desperate prayers for bread, for our families and friends, for them to be saved, you know, however outrageous it might seem, is a reasonable and legitimate thing to do. And it is what may move the hand of God. So I say to you, don't be shy. It's the midnight hour. And you knock as loud as you can. And if you can't knock with your bare hands, get a sledgehammer. Because you know why? God wants the same thing that you want. His very honor, the character of God, and his act at Calvary are at stake. And after so much pounding on the door, maybe it seemed like an eternity to the guy outside. The man inside got up and gave him 3 loaves. The 3 loaves he wanted. No, he didn't give him 3 loaves. The text says he gave him how much? As much as he needed. And I thought, this is the point where somebody from this Pentecostal church would be shouting, yeah! From the front and from the back and from the middle and the left and the right. He asked for 3 jars. He got as much as he needed. 50, 100, 1,000, name it, and he's got it. And you know why he's got it? Because that guy inside is the bread himself. I don't know what you need. I don't even know what I need. But if you ever get your little prayer life going, I guarantee you, he will give you all that you need. And I want to close with a reference from this wonderful book that people, preachers probably don't preach from. It's the Song of Solomon. Yes. And it's chapter 5. And it's verses 2 to 3. In this passage, the bridegroom comes to the door, knocks, and says to his bride in the room, "My beloved, open to me. My sister, my darling, my dove, my perfect one." That sounds like us, Marina. Wow. This is in the Bible, you know. All right, I'm not making this thing up. I'm quoting. Yeah? "My beloved, open to me. My sister, my darling, my dove, my perfect one," with an exclamation mark, "for my head is drenched with dew. My locks," here that is, "with the damp of the night." And the bride inside the room replies, "I have taken off my dress." This is getting good now. "I have taken off my dress. How can I put it on again? I've washed my feet. How can I dirty them again? Not tonight, honey. I am too comfortable in bed. Go away." That's in the Bible. Solomon chapter 5, verses 2 to 3. Eventually, maybe feeling guilty of something, she got up and says, this is the crunch bit, "I opened the door to my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and gone. My heart went out to him as he spoke. I searched for him, but I did not find him. I called him, but he did not answer me. The only thing she is left with is the fragrance of his presence on the door handle and on the door. Just his smell, because she didn't get up when he knocked on that door. And now he's gone." And the Bible says when he knocked, it was the midnight hour. In the midnight hour, you will either have the smell of a past presence of the Lord, or you will have fresh loaves of bread. Living off the smell of a past presence, the blessings you used to have, the walk you used to have, the intimacy with the Lord you used to have, or you will have fresh bread, hot loaves. You know why you may have fresh loaves? Because you've been beating on that door at midnight. Intercessory prayer with an aggressive element to it. And some of you right now are probably thinking, "Estwar, that kind of prayer is for the preacher, is for the pastor, is for the minister, is for John and John and John, is for Tony and Joanne and Sylvia and Nancy, and name the rest." I got news for you. Everybody has got to pray. And you better get beating on the door, especially when you see it's midnight. You know, sometimes I feel that in the church, we fuss over matters that don't really make any difference, when we should really be fussing over having bread, because it's midnight. This is the time where our posture and position should be. Lord, I need more of you now than I have ever had in my life. And I am desperate for you. And by the way, Lord, I am not asking just for me, but I am also asking for my family and friends who are lost, that you may so fill our house with bread that we may have more than 3 loaves, so that when my friends and family or anyone comes, there will be enough bread, not just for me, but for them. How many of you have a family member or a friend or a colleague that is at this very present moment lost and heading for hell? Can you pray for them right now? Because according to this story, if somebody will get to praying for them, that friend's journey could end up in the house of bread. Can we believe that God will send a revival, not just for us, not even for us, but for all the friends and families who are searching for bread and who are on a terrible journey at the midnight hour? This is the midnight hour. Jesus is coming. Pray for bread, not just for yourselves, but for your families and friends. Bread for me and bread for them. Jesus for me and Jesus for them. Knocking on the door at midnight for 3 loaves.